Hey, welcome back, everyone. We're back again to talk about some new stuff now this time. I know I took a break for like 4 years, but last time we discussed about our education system back in the 1950s and all the technology that came along with it. But now we're here to talk about climate change and women's rights. One of the issues right now is prohibiting Gen Z from having a voice in current issues is a direct violation of the First Amendment.
So some statistics from Pew Research show that members of Gen Z are a lot more likely to agree that our current government should do more to solve social issues. They recognize certain issues and problems and are usually more knowledgeable on a lot of commonly debated topics. And these topics include racial inequality and gender identity and inclusivity, sexual orientation, gay marriage, climate change, discrimination in the workplace, and a lot of Gen Z and millennials are more likely to support legal abortions.
Honestly, if you think about it, all the major civil rights movement has been led by youths, and I think letting us have a voice will be a really big change to this world. It will really help. In fact, the majority of Gen Z also say we need to be doing more to combat climate change. What's most important is that we speed up the fight against climate change, global warming soon, because the consequences of continuing to live this way can severely damage the earth and not even destroy our planet. But everyone needs to comprehend that global temperatures will continue to rise and it will be too late soon. We're slowly reaching the point of no return.
Now that we've introduced the scary part of the podcast, I want to shift the focus. Alright, so my name is Maya Ponte.
And my name is Henley Wu.
And today we are talking about the youth's involvement in feminism and the fight for women's rights.
As well as their involvement in the fight against climate change.
Well, Henley, let's start with the obvious. There is a new Texas abortion ban going around that directly violates and attacks the reproductive rights of women in Texas. They're practically being denied access to control over their own bodies. So the Texas abortion ban actually bars abortions after a fetal heartbeat is detected, which is usually around the six-week mark, which is like well before any women know they're actually pregnant. This law does not allow women like ample time and does not make any exceptions for cases of incest or rape. The only exception is for the abortion is if the pregnancy can endanger the individual's life.
Wait. Texas can't be the only one doing it. I think I heard about like 26 other states as well. They're like banning abortion.
Yeah, right? 26 other like mainly Republican states are also banning abortion. So I want to focus on how we can't ignore the direct harmful impact this has on both women's physical and mental health. It's restricting a medical procedure that will hit marginalized communities and minorities harder than it will hit that of white people seeking abortions, actually. People of color have higher rates of poverty, which means they do not have stable source of income that can pay for the hefty prices of contraceptives, which honestly should be free. So Henley, you may be wondering, how can we solve this problem of abortion restrictions and bans? Well, it's simple. We change the way we vote.
Well, what can we change about the way we vote, though?
So I want to explain what a referendum is. So it is basically a direct way of voting on a proposal, law, or social issue that can be used to change or set a new policy into place. Or it can just be used to like observe the public's opinion and not yet like take any action. So there has been like a really large increase in voting previously in the past like 2020 presidential election. 158 million Americans voted out of the registered 240. So what we're seeing is like a very increased amount of voting with our newer generations, especially with like the whole Donald Trump versus President Biden. And I think our nation has become more knowledgeable on elections and like willing to participate in our government because people are noticing how much we're still suffering from issues that we shouldn't be suffering from, which is why I think using referendums will be really successful in the future of like U.S. politics and government.
That's very interesting. Like, we can definitely use some of that because I just feel like everyone that's voting right now is just like old people who doesn't know anything about the new democracy.
Exactly, because we're always changing as a society. So There is like the only, okay, so the way we vote now is a what is it? Plurality voting is what we do now for how we elect our House representatives and senators. So I just want to talk about how bad that can be. So there's a lot of negative partisanship and a vast difference between values in our party system, and elected officials will introduce bills that completely neglect the values and opinions of other members on the other side of the political spectrum, which is what's happening in Texas. And throughout history, we've seen like this weakness in this type of voting system. And candidates will promise things and then not fulfill their promises. So using referendums will allow people to voice their opinions and like really be a country that listens to its citizens.
You know what? I think letting 16-year-olds vote can also be another way that we can make the politicians listen to us as well.
So some of the things Henley had told me was the debate around voting age, which is another flaw we have in our voting system. So Henley, has the voting age always been 18 years old?
No, in fact, in 1971, 26th Amendment was passed after 18-year-olds were protesting that since they were 21, or since when you're 18, you have to be registered for the draft. And if you could die for your country, you should be able to vote for your country. And letting 18-year-olds vote was a huge success for the country, and it brought nothing but benefits.
So why exactly do you think lowering the voting age would be beneficial for the country?
Well, if you think about it, Austria, their voting age right now is at 16, and their voting turnout is 72, while the US at 18-year-olds only has a consistent below 50 voter turnout.
Wow, that actually sounds really great. But don't teenagers often get their opinions swayed by like social media and their parents and like the environment that they grew up in?
Well, most 16-year-olds, we have the knowledge, and we probably have taken courses in our schools about our democracy. And 16-year-olds, they can drive, donate blood, work a full-time job, and they have to pay taxes. So by letting us vote early on different issues would directly impact us in the future. For example, like as I mentioned earlier, the LGBTQ community has gained massive amount of support, and these changes has brought more conversation to the table about gender identity and sexuality.
Yeah, but if you think about it, teenagers can easily be swayed to what either side, like Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, by either their parents, friends, and just everything that's on like social media and I mean everywhere. And this can lead to a biased election. Not to mention that not many 18 to 29-year-olds had have an adequate amount of education. So what should we do?
Well, there's like many social media giants like Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat. They are constantly fighting disinformation and misinformation, and that you can't really control that because everyone has the power in the internet. But we are definitely changing something, and by letting us vote young, we develop lifelong voting habits. And the world climate problem right now is going to be in our hands to deal with in the future. And it's not just going to be our problem, it's probably going to be our grandchildren's problem and our grandchildren's grandchildren's problem.
I actually never thought about like how much young people and people like my age even are the front of like every major movement. But how would this help with climate change? Is that like something young people can vote for politicians?
Like if you think about it, Greta Thunberg, like what she was like when she was 13, she did a lot. And I think she just really inspired a lot of people. And I think by letting us vote early, we can change a lot. And here's exactly the plan. Biden has a mission to reduce carbon emissions to zero by 2030. And by letting 16-year-old vote, we can have politicians in both the executive and legislative branch to help us fight climate change.
So, how big exactly is the fight with climate change? Like, do you know how much longer the Earth will have to sustain mankind?
Well, it's a very dire situation right now, and by the year 2100, hundreds of millions would be dislocated from their homes, and they're going to be pushed inland, and not to mention all the coral bleaching and all the other ecosystems that are going to be killed off.
And so, like, coral bleaching, like, how important is that to, like, our ecosystem and environment?
Oh, coral bleaching is one of the most biologically diverse ecosystems in the world. And this is where all the planktons and algae is in the ocean. And these planktons capture carbon and release more oxygen, which in turn reduces the greenhouse gases. You just have to remember that it is certainly not too late to change anything. And this can be either personal, local, or even global issues.
So please remember, do not stop fighting for what you believe in. Just know that there will always be someone in the background cheering you on.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
Have a good day.